This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bringing you more of your community, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to another Joy 94.9 Community Highlights podcast.
Hello and welcome to the first AFL-endorsed Pride event. Isn't this exciting? My name is Thomas Jaspers and I am your MC today. And to be honest, I have no idea why they picked me. I know nothing at all about football, literally at all. Until I started doing some research for this event, I thought that a fullback was somebody that lived in a bell tower in Notre Dame. And I thought a Brisbane lion was an endangered species. Although from what I'm told, that's not completely incorrect. And of course, holding the man is something you do on a Sunday morning after a good Saturday night out, whilst you have a nice little huddle and he handballs your tackle. This is a very different event for me, obviously, as I'm not that well related with the AFL community normally. Last weekend, I was in a ball gown impersonating Rhonda Birchmore. So yes, very different to be wearing flat shoes, but much more comfortable, which is nice. I didn't wear the ball gown today. I thought that might be a bit much, but I have brought it along. I was thinking about hanging out by the players' dressing rooms. Do we call it dressing rooms? Backstage? Is that what we call it? Backstage at the Etihad Stadium? The change rooms, is it? The change rooms. We do have a few speakers today. Got a few speakers today, as well as some really great entertainment, which I'm quite looking forward to. And then, of course, the game. But before we do, I wanted to tell you a little bit of a story. It's a little bit of a serious story. As I said, I'm not a big follower of the AFL. The last game I went to was when I was 12 years old. My father took me to a football game. It was St Kilda versus Collingwood. My dad's a one-eyed St Kilda supporter. My mum's family is all Collingwood. I went for St Kilda. My brother went for Collingwood. So at least when I came out of the closet, I wasn't the biggest disappointment to the family. We went to this game. And during the interval, halftime, whatever you call it, thing, we went to get some food. And we were walking to the food stand. And I've always had a little bit of a spring in my step. And as a 12-year-old boy, I saw no problem with skipping to the food stand. And a big burly man called me a poofter, which is an awful thing to do to a 12-year-old child. Even if I was wearing the ball gown at the time, I think it would still be a pretty awful thing to be doing. And that was the last football game that I ever went to. I haven't really felt welcome in the football community since then, especially going through high school. It was something that I was never really welcomed into. And so as a result, I always pushed back against that sort of a thing. When this was announced, this event was announced, and they invited me to come along, I thought, how amazing. I never thought that something like that would be happening. And it was also around about the same time that St Kilda announced that they would be interested in doing a Pride match next year. And so I started reading through a lot of the amazing supportive things that were being written about all of that sort of stuff. But of course, unfortunately, there's also some negative things that get written around these things as well in blogs and opinion articles and that sort of thing. And a lot of the arguments against this sort of thing is that stop politicising the game. The game's there to have fun. It was also some of the articles that were written against Adam Goods said stop politicising the game. And my opinion is we're not trying to politicise the game here today. That man 12 years ago that thought it was okay to call a 12-year-old boy a poofter was the man that politicised the game. And what we're doing here today is trying to correct that and make this a game for everybody to play, which is a really exciting thing, I think. So anyway, yes, I haven't been to a football game for a very long time, but I am absolutely thrilled that the football community has opened up its arms to a community that I do identify with. And so when they did invite me to come along, I said, absolutely sure, I would love to. I'm very excited to be going to my first football game today in 16 years. And as my father is down in Tasmania today to watch the Saints play, I think I can safely get away with saying, Can the Bombers? Am I doing that right? Can the Bombers? Can I just say a huge welcome to Jack Jones, who's here today. We didn't realise was going to be coming along today. We're very privileged to have Jack, an Essendon legend, I'm told, which is very exciting. So big round of applause for Jack as well. So without further ado, can we please welcome to the stage Jason Twileson McSheen, who's going to be our first speaker today, who is the president of the Essendon Bombers. Oh, sorry, the purple Bombers. Oh, I nearly got through the first whole bit without stuffing it up. Sorry, Doug.
You know, I remember it like yesterday. It was grand final week in 1984. Yes, I'm that old. I went with my local youth group to the Melbourne show. I remember grabbing my Essendon scarf and my Essendon cap before I ran to the bus to go where we were going. And I remember wearing those two items more proudly than I'd ever worn anything in my life before then. They were my badges of honour. I couldn't have been prouder. And I was glowing at the thought that maybe that coming Saturday, we would be premiers. The Saturday came and I remember bursting into tears for the first time at a football game when Leon Baker twisted and turned and put us in front for the first time against Hawthorn. I was so proud. Over in the corner there, my son is playing an iPad, not paying any attention to his father. He was conceived in 2005, and we knew when we found out that he was going to be a boy, and we'd always name him Reuben. I remember the very next day walking into Windy Hill, purchasing his membership. He's only 18 weeks in the womb. Also purchasing one of the concrete pavers outside the Holy Lands at Windy Hill, which were actually laid on the month that he was born in February 2006. Our names and the date are just outside the old bomber shop there. When I stand on that street in Napier Street, I always feel so very proud of my family. Up until recently, if you were a football nut or a football fan, and you are lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual or intersex, you've been treated as a second-class citizen. Sure, we're welcome to be members, give our money, lose our voices barracking our hearts out, but we had to remain invisible. And we needed to hide, to be careful not to be ourselves lest we be abused, making sure we shielded our loved ones and families from an environment that was not inclusive. I've sat just near here, just 10 rows down there, and heard people call out poofter and faggot to people in the audience. You know, the past 2.5 years for the Essendon Football Club have probably been the most difficult in its history. Every Essendon supporter has had to overcome a barrage of what feels like psychological abuse for something none of us supporters actually had any control over and none of us supporters are actually responsible for. And it's hurt. In fact, it's hurt a lot and it's still hurting and it doesn't seem to be ever ending. But friends, that does not compare to what gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, intersex people have had to put up with their entire lives. In fact, it might give you a small idea, our straight friends out here, of how we've had to hurt every day because of the constant lies from other humans who think there's something wrong with me, something wrong with me being a parent, something wrong with us. And we, as a consequence, have thought poorly of ourselves. Some of us have been beaten up, some of us have been killed, some of us suffer depression, and many of us actually have committed suicide. And there are people here who have friends who've terminated their lives in recent years. And all of us still struggle, because we are second-class citizens in our own country. It's a place where it's okay to get up and say, if you're the Prime Minister of our country, that if you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, then the coalition is on your side, like it's some football competition. Well, it's not okay. We have been on the AFL side, but it has never been on our side. There are no out players in the AFL, and until recently, Essendon fans have struggled to just be themselves at a football game. I've loved the Essendon Football Club for over 35 years. With all my heart, but it wasn't until last July that they told me they loved me back. And I can speak on behalf of most of you here that love has been overwhelming and has allowed me to safely combine my family and my love for my football team together for the first time. And the Essendon Football Club are the best football club in the land. They supported us in establishing the Purple Bombers, throwing me into a public press conference with Brendan Goddard before the Sydney game last season, which was the highlight of my life till that point. They have demonstrated their support and their desire for our club to be the most inclusive AFL club in the country. 150 people responded to the call out, a dozen formed a committee, and we launched this year in March. And our aims are to help establish an AFL Pride game at senior level as early as next year. Secondly, to make the AFL a safe place for all of its LGBTI fans and players. And thirdly, to help establish similar supporter initiatives in every other AFL club. So we feel like we've already come a long way in such a short time. And today I welcome people from the Blue Roos, the Rainbow Tigers, and our pioneers, the Pink Magpies. The rainbow is forming. Now I just want to call the committee up. Can you all come up here, please? We have gay people, we have straight people, we have lesbians. we even have a West Coast supporter as part of our committee. I can't ever be prouder to be able to stand here with these people. These people have worked their behinds off this past 12 months, to try and show the AFL that this is needed and that we want to be visible and have our place as part of the AFL community. A couple of weeks ago, the St Kilda Football Club, and I commend them, put their hands up to be part of an AFL Pride game next season. So congratulations to them. Give them a warm hand because that's really good. So on behalf of the Purple Bombers today, we ask the Essendon Football Club to take what we believe is really a small step and an easy step, but a giant step that has massive consequences that will make the lives of tens of thousands of Essendon supporters and hundreds of thousands of AFL fans and millions of Australians better. So we ask you to partner St Kilda next year in a Pride game, and we say, do it, Bombers, and make us proud. This beautiful lady here, Jade, is going to share a personal story with you today.
My name's Jade Gulliver. I'm a member of the Purple Bombers Committee. When it was suggested today that I stand here and talk in front of everyone, I thought, this is ridiculous. I was terrified, in case it's not obvious. I much prefer to live my life similar to Essendon's motto, gently in manner, resolute in execution. But I felt really compelled to speak today and tell my story. The Gullivers were not always Essendon supporters. Traditionally, they were Carlton fans. It was my nan, a woman of 4'11", who managed to convert her three children to mad Essendon fans, and she continued her mission, converting all her grandchildren too. In one generation, she single-handedly managed to ensure the Gullivers are all Essendon tragics. Now, to be a Gulliver is to be a bomber. Just ask anyone who's married to one of us. So many of my childhood memories are tied to key moments in Essendon history. The time Sheeds waved his jacket, the first Anzac Day game, listening to the radio with my nan during the 1993 preliminary final and telling her at halftime things are about to turn our way. Being so bored waiting in traffic on the way out to Waverley and threatening to get out of the car and walk. Running onto the ground after a game at Windy Hill to get Scott Cummings to sign my jumper. In a world where I often feel so different, football has been an equaliser, a conversation starter for my dad and I, a common language to make small talk with my co-workers, a sense of family pride and a community. When my girlfriend, now wife, moved from the United States 9 years ago to be with me, the thing I was most proud to share with her was the Bombers. She's now as passionate as I am. We are members who organise our lives around the fixture. Inspired by my nan, I've made it my mission to introduce this great club to the many people in my life, including my best friend who had never been to a football game, visiting friends from the US, and a friend's boyfriend who was visiting from the UK. It's been my opportunity to say, look what awesome tribe I am a part of. The process of coming out is something that never stops. When I was coming out, I didn't know any other gay people, and it was incredibly isolating to live in that world. I eventually found support and friendship through Joy, and it was my experience with them and the push from my wife that gave me the confidence to step forward and join the Purple Bombers. We live in a world where we get put into boxes. My hope for the Purple Bombers is not that we will change the world's need to categorise, just that we can ensure the words gay and football fan don't need to be put into separate boxes. The Purple Bombers is so important to me because I love Essendon as though it is my family, and I want more than anything is to feel accepted by that family. I also want to make football a safe place for GLBT people. I can't help but think of the young football fans who are now coming to terms with their sexuality. My hope for them is that they will hear about Purple Bombers and know that they don't need to turn away to find acceptance. Football has a place for them. They won't ever experience going to the football and hear homophobic slurs disguised as passion for the game. When the Essendon Football Club announced the establishment of Purple Bombers last year, the first thing I felt was pride. My club, my family, was telling the world I was accepted. It's that feeling that is the foundation of the amazing group of Purple Bombers I've had the pleasure to work with, and I can't wait to continue to spread that across the AFL. Thank you.
Now I have the absolute pleasure of inviting the Essendon Football Club CEO, Xavier Campbell, up. Now, Xavier is the best CEO in the AFL.
Self-proclaimed or?
No, I'm taking your job because I'm going to become the president of the Essendon Football Club soon. And Xavier believes in equality and has not been tokenistic in the way he's approached everything that we've done as the Purple Bombers, and he spoke at our launch back in March. But today we wanted to just ask him 4 or 5 questions.
Not that Jason's putting any pressure on me around the Prague.
No, no pressure at all. No pressure, Xavier. We had lunch, well, coffee a couple of months ago, and I was worried because I knew St Kilda were on the ball in regards to getting their hands up first. And he looked at me and he said to me, "You look really worried, Jason," which I couldn't obviously hide it very well. And I was justifiably worried, and I'm still a little bit worried, and I'm hoping that I won't be so worried in a few minutes' time. But a couple of questions I just want to ask. It's the elephant in the room always around, what's the latest update in regards to this controversy that's been going on for 2.5 years? Where are we at? Is it going to end soon?
I think it will end soon. Obviously, it's been, and you sort of, probably to take it back a step, you know, I'm a middle-class, white male, heterosexual, so to say I know how you feel, I don't. And I guess this process has been a great education for me, and listening to how passionate Jason's been about it, and probably talking to a whole range of other members within the group, it's been a great experience. And to go straight to the chase, you know, Jason has been pushing for a Pride game, and we're very receptive to that and what that looks like. What I'm also really keen to understand, and like we've done right throughout our history, we've ensured that when we've done things, we haven't done them in a tokenistic fashion. And I'm committed to that. I'm absolutely hell-bent in making sure we don't do things in a tokenistic way. And we've done that through our Indigenous communities and our remote communities. We've made sure we've had a strong presence up there. Our multicultural work is really important to us. And the work here with the Purple Bombers and the cultural awareness elements that we need to be mindful of are really important to me as well. And to us as an organisation, and we continue to do really good work and training within that group. The Purple Bombers is a really good, formidable initial step in what will be a process. And we're absolutely open to what Pride game looks like. But I want to make sure that we've fully embedded this in our business. And I imagine we're in a pretty good position to do that with St Kilda. And I've sat down and spoke with Matt Finnis. And he knows how interested we are. And our last discussion was a week ago at the Chief Executives Conference down in Werribee Mansion. And he knows that we're right there, front and square. And I think we're in a position, hopefully, to be able to make some progress in that in the next fortnight. So I don't want to stay on the fence at all. But I do want to be completely honest with the group. So when it comes to WADA, obviously it's been a really difficult time, and I can only imagine how a lot of the Bombers supporters have felt in here in dealing with that issue. You know, it's a tough issue, it's a complex issue, and it's not as straightforward as most people would like to make it out to be. And it's not black and it's not white, it's shades of grey right through it. I would like to think that by November this year we have a hearing through the panel of the Court of Arbitration of Sport. I'd like to think that by Christmas we have a decision, and there's nothing in, from my perspective that I've seen, and obviously I've been close to it for a long period of time now and read almost every document that relates to it, be it interim reports or transcripts or whatever else, and I feel confident in the player's position, and there's nothing that I've seen, even in the last fortnight that I've seen, that's altered my position. So I'd like to think it comes soon. I thank everyone for your patience and your confidence in the club during this difficult time.
Good answer. Tell us what the Essendon Football Club Respects program is, because we launched it the other week during the Adam Goods week. From your perspective, what is that? Tell everyone.
Well, we are committed to creating an environment as a football club, and we want to move away from, you know, where football clubs have traditionally been. I think Essendon's been progressive in its thinking right throughout, but we want to create an environment where, regardless of your race or religion or sexual orientation, whatever it may be, that you feel welcome. And our Respects campaign is about highlighting why it's important. And above and beyond, we all know diversity will make a stronger society. And diversity and inclusion will make us a stronger football club. And our campaign is about the initial education steps around what that looks like and why it's important to us as a football club and what we expect as a minimum standard across our supporter base, realistically.
I know we've got, hopefully, the Pride game is part of what we're a part of, because you will break a lot of hearts, Xavier. You'll have to have me come in and be a blubbering mess.
Could I just say, before you go on, Jason is ruthless in No, and I say this with respect, because I really admire the quality, because he is ruthless in pushing the Purple Bombers, and he's ruthless in pushing equality and educating myself and our senior management about why it's important. And you should be very proud that you have a leader that's so committed to pushing the message and ensuring our club embraces it wholeheartedly. So well done, Jason.
Cuddle. Thank you. The club has an LGBTI strategy as part of the EFC Respect. So how do you reckon that's going to play out in regards to education, with the playing group, with the broader club? Like, I got a tweet this morning. Have to get some negative tweets, I guess, but they're like, oh, can you just leave the Bombers and the AFL alone? You know, like we're somehow a pain in the ass to them or something. That's fine, but how do we make things more inclusive? So what might be one of the strategies that the club uses to be, and I know it's part of our motto, to be the most inclusive AFL club?
So we've started this year with some cultural awareness training across our whole group, including our players. We have two or three ambassadors in the playing group, of which Brendan is obviously one of them, around pushing this message. And over the next 6 months, we hope to have relevant people come through, and yourself included, to talk about why it's important, to really understand fully your story, other people's story, and the story before, which I can't remember the name of the young lady.
Jade.
Before. Jade was fantastic. I mean, that sort of story really adds a personal, human element to it. And that is the last step for us to ensure that we fully embed and embrace this wholeheartedly as a business. And that's, you know, that's about legitimacy. It's about ensuring it's fully integrated into our business. And I don't want that to sound transactional, because it's not. It's about creating a really genuine platform, and that for us is probably where it sits.
We've got some really good young players who are playing today. Laverde and Langford are two. What do you reckon the future is for us, even though we're languishing in the bottom four right now? Our list is not a bottom four list.
No.
What do you expect to happen over the next 12 months on the field?
Well, I expect the next 3 to 4 months to be really difficult. Difficult because we've got a whole range of issues that we're still managing. There will be change, no doubt about that. We've got a football review on at the moment, and what that looks like, I'm not entirely sure yet. There will be decisions that we make at list management. I mean, you have to move 15 to 20% of your list every year. You have to change over, and that's just the way the competition's set up. So there will be decisions that we have to make, and there'll be firm decisions, and we'll be bold, and I'm committed to ensuring we do that. I'm an Essendon supporter first and foremost, and I'm really passionate about our football club, and I'm passionate about us being a legitimate contender when it comes to finals football. I'm not passionate about us being a 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th team. I'm passionate about us devising a strategy that puts us in a position to be a top 4 team, and statistics say if you're not going to finish top 4, you're not a chance to win it.
Yep.
So there'll be decisions we have to make. I don't think our list is a 5-13 list. It's certainly not. And we certainly have, with some younger players, we've got a great spine, Hooker, Hurley, Heppel, those guys are great young players who have the potential to be A-grade players. And we've got some great young players, Zach Merritt coming through, Laverde, Langford coming through. And importantly, you know, if you want to look at a positive of the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks, and what you'll see in the next 4 weeks is they're getting game time. And game time is really important to development. And I feel confident our list has the foundation to build off, to create a really strong, powerful list. And what that looks like is it 2, 3, 4 years' time, that's something we need to develop, but I want to make sure we have a strong strategy that's a legitimate strategy that's capable of achieving success properly.
Well, Xavier, in sometime in the next few weeks, I'm going to be in a crying mess with you one way or the other, and I look forward to that.
We'll be all right.
And I just want to say thank you for coming today, and thank you, and Justin and Ryan, who are here as well, and Mark, who used to work at Essendon, for your support. It means the world to a lot of people, and we're really grateful. Give them a warm hand, please. Peter is the head of the Essendonians, the largest coterie coming up group at Essendon, and he just wanted to pop out of his own function and say a couple of words.
Thanks, Jason, and no pressure on you, Xavier. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a real pleasure to be here this afternoon to expel the support of the Essendonians for the creation of a coterie group that's acknowledged and promoted the expansive dimensions that I think diversity can bring to our football club. Within my own group, the Essendonians, we understand that all members are different, that diversity encompasses acceptance, respect, and the right to exhibit individual behaviour. I'm proud of the way that our club has embraced different ethnic groups, fought for gender equality. I think we were the first club that ever have a female board member, and highlighted that different physical attributes, religious or political beliefs or sexual preferences are normal and highly acceptable ideologies. Within the Essendonians, we have a very different group of people, different age structures, etc., but we try and encourage an environment that totally supports the coterie as a safe, positive and nurturing framework for friendship and social interaction. I thus bring forth a message that we totally support the football club in participating in a pride game, and the Purple Bombers contributing to the wonderful fabric that is the Essendon family. I congratulate Jason and the fantastic committee and all participating members for having the foresight and the absolute courage to build this terrific network together. Have a fantastic afternoon and be content to know that the Essendonians fully support the Purple Bombers and what you're trying to achieve. Thank you.
Now, I'm not sure if Jack is the oldest person in the room, because I was really touched today. My grandmother passed away quite a few years ago, but her sister, my auntie, is here today with her oxygen and her chair and made it up the stairs somehow. So it's good. I'm so glad you're here, auntie. But Jack, if you would like to come forward, Jack wanted to... He's an Essendon champion, someone who I've actually had the privilege of attending a tour of the Essendon grounds with, and he's going to share a couple of words.
Well, thanks very much for the invitation to talk to you today. I'm an old bloke that was in World War II. When I came back, I went up and had a go at hitting a game with Essendon, which I was lucky enough to do so, and the rest is history. But I played in three premierships, 46, 49 and 50, and I played in... and I played in seven consecutive grand finals in 6 years. Yeah, how can you do it in 6 years? Because there was a draw in 1948. And unfortunately, we kicked 727 to Melbourne's 10-9. You wouldn't believe it. Everybody keeps asking me, how many points did I kick? No discussion about that. I won't even talk about it. I must have kicked a few, but anyway, it was a great game. And I saw my first game when... You've all heard of Dick Reynolds, of course, I suppose. I went to his first game in 1933. I was 8 and a half at the time, and he played in the Western Oval, and I can't remember much about it. I'd be telling lies if I did, seeing I was 8. But my father filled me in with all how good he was, and he won 3 Brownlow medals in the 30s, so he's a great footballer. And when I come back from the war, and I was following Essendon until I went into the war at 18, and come back, and Dick was everybody's idol. He was my idol, and he was everybody else's idol. And I finished up playing, you wouldn't believe it, in 3 premierships with him and 7 grand finals. So I always pinch myself, even now at night when I go to sleep, I say, gee, that Dick Reynolds, he was a great bloke. My grand-nephew invited me here tonight, and today, this afternoon, and I work at the dinners every year. Every home game, the chairman's dinner, which I'll be going back to after I leave here. And I said, now I'll only be too pleased to come and talk to you. And as I said, if you want to ask any questions, I'm free. I've got all the time in the world. But the game starts in about 40 minutes, doesn't it? So I'll never finish, because there's that many stories I could tell you about the Essendon Football Club. All the great presidents and the CEOs and all the players that I played with. And I was very, very lucky to play in those. Without them, well, I wouldn't have played as many games as I did. Because every time you led for the ball with Billy Hutchinson and Dick Reynolds, even if it was a mistake, they'd hit you on the chest. Where if you're not playing at a good side, you might be 10 yards away from the ball. And that's how good they were. In my opinion, Bill Hutchinson was the best footballer that ever played with Essendon. He played about 283 games, I think. He won 2 Brownlow medals, and he also... finished 3rd and 2nd as well. So 7 best and fairest, the same as Dick Reynolds. So there's 2 great legends. And, of course, John Comerley was just out of this world as far as I was concerned. I was lucky enough to play in front of him for about the whole time he was here, 5.5 years on the half-forward flank. And every time he went and played for Victoria, I went to full-forward and tried to kick a few goals like he used to kick. Actually, the day before he did his leg, he kicked 14 goals against Fitzroy up at Essendon, up at Windy Hill. The following year, I was playing centre half forward in front of him again, and he kicked 7 up till half time. He'd come out after half time. And Jack Clark, I suppose you all know about Jack Clark, another legend of the Essendon Football Club. And he was coming out the centre, and I was playing centre forward. I thought I'd better lead to him. So I started leading, and I heard this voice behind me say, it's mine, Jonah. J Jones, Jonah, connection. And also, I started to learn, so I thought I'd better get out of his way because he was a field marshal of the forward line. He was a vice captain, and I wanted a game next week. So I got out of the way, and if I hadn't went for the ball, he might never have done his leg. So that's how his leg happened. I was only from here to this young lady here away from me when he did his leg. Thanks very much for having me, and go Bombers. Okay.
We just have two small more people to speak. One, it's an absolute pleasure to introduce you to Rowena Allen, who is the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner inside the State Victorian Labor Government. This is an amazing person. She's come down from Canberra just to be here this morning, and I hand you over to her.
Thank you, Jason. Can I pay my respects to the Kulin Nation, the land we meet on today, and also to their elders past and present, and to my elders, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans and intersex community, who have fought for equality all their life, and I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for them. Now, this is where I've got to come out of the closet and tell you that I've never been to an AFL game before. Shame! Now, in our community, we say we don't recruit. Well, can I tell you, you've all tried to recruit me today to be a Bomber supporter, so that myth is alive and well. I have my purple Bomber badge on here. I am going to be quick because I have to go and talk at the Marriage Equality Rally, but if you see me tonight on television, it'll be with the purple Bomber little logo on here. And I'm wearing the colours. And can I say thank you for welcoming me into your culture. I have really enjoyed it, and I even seen myself at a couple of games. I always talk about diversity and with diversity, and today is another example of that. Can I thank Xavier for his words too? I look forward to the Pride game next year with great anticipation. I like to put it out there like that so it happens. And someone said, well, who do you barrack for? Well, I barrack for the two teams that stand up to be in the Pride game next year. So I wish you all the best. Now, go on the Bombers. Bombers, go the Bombers. Go the Bombers. And you're all forgiven for not being at the rally this afternoon. I understand there's a competing interest here, but you'll have to excuse me. And thank you so much for the invitation. Jason's an absolute terror when it comes to... He's pretty much first on the phone after my appointment. And the sadness in his voice when I said I was going to be in Canberra, I have driven all the way back. So he's a great champion for the Purple Bombers, and I wish you all the best. And thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you, Jason. Jason, I'm so sorry I called you the president of the Essendon Football Club. To be fair, that is, I think, impressive. That's the only mistake I made in that little opening bit. I was up till 4 o'clock. Learning all of those football terminologies, holding the man and fullback and Brisbane Lions. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Brisbane Lions. So I think it's pretty impressive that I memorised all of them. I only got that one wrong. I did also have a joke about dribbling the ball, but my friend Kyle told me that was a basketball terminology on the way in here, so cut that one out. Now, I'm told there is also some representatives from the St Kilda Football Club in the room, and I would just like to say to any representatives from the St Kilda Football Club, when this Pride match does happen, if you're looking for a bit of halftime entertainment, I do know a very good Rhonda Birchmore impersonator. I think my time might have passed my dad's dreams of me becoming a St Kilda Football Club player. I think that might have been shot through now, but I think it would be pretty exciting to be the first male cheerleader for the St Kilda Football Club. I think you'd be just as proud at that, I think. Very excited to have one of my favourite stand-up comedians here to entertain you all, Geraldine Hickey. And, of course, she's also a prominent member in the lesbian community and a big Bomber supporter. So that's exciting. Big round of applause, please, for Geraldine Hickey.
Thank you. Right, I'd just like to start with a really sad story about my... No, I'm kidding. Thanks very much. Thanks so much for having me here today. I found out about this event. I do a radio show on Triple R called The Download. Please subscribe. And we got Tom Jaspers in to talk about this event. And he sat there and he said, yeah, I don't know why they got me. Like, I don't really like football. I go for St Kilda, if anything. And I don't know. And I'm sitting there and I said, yeah, I'm sitting here as an Essendon supporter and a gay comedian, I'm wondering the same thing. Like, why am I not... Anyway, but it was. It's so great that he passed on that I really wanted to be here, so it's such an honour to be here. Michael Hurley, I love you. Like, not in a gay way, because, you know, you're a male. Just in a, you know, it's good. Anyway, comedy, here we go. So, caught the tram here today, didn't get a ticket, didn't get one. No. Not because I'm a rebel, but because you can't. You can't buy a ticket on the tram anymore. Like, if you want a ticket for the tram, you've got to go down to the shops, right? But sometimes I'm at home and I need to go to the shops. But to get to the shops, got to catch a tram. Can't catch a tram because I haven't got a ticket. Anyway, what a good system. It's all good. I have recently recovered from an injury. I was car doored, but my little finger was dislocated. I like to think it was a football injury. I was car doored. I don't know if anyone's been car doored before, and that's not when you get your car fingers jammed in the door. It's when you're riding your bike along and then someone opens the car door and you smack into it, right? That's been car doored, right? I kind of wish I had... I'd never heard of that term before it had happened to me, and I kind of wish I did, because I spent a lot of time sending text messages to people saying I was riding my bike along and someone opened their car door and I smacked into it. Like, car doored is a much more efficient way of saying that, right? But I was riding along one day. I was riding to work down Johnson Street in Fitzroy. I don't know if you know. I'll paint a picture for you. I'm cycling along Johnson Street. There's the 7-Eleven on the corner of Nicholson Street there. Yeah, I'm cycling on Nicholson Street into Johnson Street, right? 7-Eleven a corner. There's the one with the petrol station there. So I'm cycling along and then the lights are red. I'm like, nah, not waiting for those lights. Cut through the 7-Eleven. Cut through. I'm like, ding, ding, got to get some petrol. Nah, just kidding, I'm on a bike. Woo! Here we go. So I'm going down Johnson Street and there's a slight hill, like a really, really slight hill. So I'm hooning, right? Going fast. I went up a gear, ladies and gentlemen. Went up. And bang, like, which meant I didn't have to pedal as fast. Like, you know, I had to put more effort into it, but didn't pedal as much. Like, I'm sure you know how gears work. Anyway, so I'm cycling, and then the car door opened, and I looked at it and just went, no, not a, oh, God, no. It was just, no, that's what, and I smacked into it, and I went in, and then, you know, tumbled over and stuff. I was lying on the road, and the first thing the guy did that opened the car door, he came running over to me, and he grabbed me, went to grab me and drag me off the road. And I was like, no, 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 don't touch me. There's no touching, right? And then another person came over and he tried to do the same thing. And I was like, no, there's no touching. And I lay there waiting for someone that knew first aid to come over and help me. No person came. And I lay there and thought, I'm going to have to do my own first aid. I'm going to have to do my own... It's all right, I've got it. Level 2 first aid. I'm all over it, right? So I lay there and went, okay, check for danger. Well, those idiots are standing back now, so yes, I have to be fine. Response, hello, hello. Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you too. This is great. Airways, I'm okay. And then I'm checking my neck and back. And then I turned and I saw my little finger. It was my little finger and it was an open dislocation. An open dislocation. So it looked like a fat chorizo sausage that had been pierced with a fork. And I looked at that and went, oh, God, do not let the patient see that. Do not let the patient see that. They were going to shock. Please leave it. Do not let the patient see that. Anyway, I'm like, you are the patient. No, you know, you're right. Oh, it's tough. Anyway, I'm at the hospital. It was okay. Anyway, thanks so much for having me, ladies and gentlemen. This is the toughest gig I've done, given there is much more exciting things happening at the back of the room. But thank you so much for the attention that you've given me. Go the Bombers. Thank you.
Well, that is it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We just have one final little bit of entertainment for you. So if you could please all put your hands together very loudly for Adam Roche, Romantosaurus. Thank you.
falls from tree and falls gently to the ground. It's now conscious of the views while we're floating down. It had no choice but to fall, yeah. It was just time, it was destiny. Like a wave crashing upon the floor, it's a timeless certainty, it's coming back for more. Yeah, you tried to ignore it, but it sits there quiet perfectly. And the daylight won't last as long as it did that night. The calmest of my life in those shadows. As a youngster, I dreamt of eternity, but these days I'm hoping for some kind of certainty that this heart counts for something just like it should. And the daylight won't last as long as it did that night. The calmest of my life in those shadows. And the daylight won't last as long as it did that night. The calmest of my life in those.
Thank you very much.
Your community is our business. Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to this highlights package from your community. For more Joy 94.9 community highlights, head to joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.